You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Welcome on back. Final hour here of Dana and Parks. A couple of animal-related stories to pass along to you. Not looking to make these topics. There's apparently a beaver on the loose that is terrorizing swimmers in upstate New York.
That is one angry beaver.
Officials, Dan, have issued a dire warning.
Dire warning?
A dire warning after a beaver attacked two swimmers at a quaint upstate New York vacation spot, prompting officials to issue a warning about rabid rodents in the area.
Well, were they messing with the beaver's dam?
I don't know what they were doing, Dan. I think they were swimming. Merriment, general enjoyment of the outdoors.
Yeah.
Brandon Shortsleeve told NBC 5 that he and his friend were bitten by the beaver July 4th.
Wait. His name is what?
His last name is Shortsleeve, Sam. No, I don't know what he was wearing when he did the interview. Brandon Shortsleeve and his friend were bitten by a beaver July 4th.
It's really hard to focus.
I wear long sleeve shirts under short sleeve shirts under long sleeve shirts.
And that is Brandon Shortsleeve, ladies and gentlemen.
It gets worse. Brandon Shortsleeve and his friend were bitten by a beaver July 4th while out for a swim on Turtle Island.
Oh my gosh, his name is written down as Brandon.
The first time my friend ended up picking it up, it swam back at him. So we were like, okay, this thing's out for blood. I jumped in the water, grabbed whatever it was attacking him, and pulled it out. Shortsleeve said he was bitten multiple times by the beaver after he attempted to yeet it off of his friend who was, quote, freaking out while the water rat had attacked him. I'm like, okay, it's a beaver. It ended up biting me a few times as I got out of the water. I kept a good grip on this thing, and then I tossed him.
I can just hear the screams from his friend right now.
Shortsleeve and his pals run in with the rowdy rodent is cause for concern. They are worried the rowdy beaver has rabies.
By the way, this author of this article knew exactly what they were doing. There were multiple other people there that they could have showcased.
Turtle Lake.
They were talking to everybody and like, wait a minute, your name is what? You are the subject of the story, Mr. Shortsleeve.
You. We're taking you.
I mean, any good beaver needs yeeting.
Yeet. And then, Dan, I'm glad you're here for this one a more mature member of our little group here.
Oh, thanks.
Costco shoppers. Attention, Costco shoppers are psyched for throwback fashion as a huge symbol for us Gen Xers has sold out. This past weekend, thousands of Generation X shoppers descended on Costco stores nationwide to procure the discount superstore's latest viral hit. Esprit sweatshirts. Remember those?
Esprit.
Remember it? Like, it was pastel colors, like Esprit.
Mm-hmm. Esprit.
Featuring the same crayon-colored logos made famous in the 1980s. Every single colorway and size of the fleece crew neck has already sold out. In stores, online, you cannot find it.
Does it come in short sleeve?
Get out. Get.
Come on. That was out. Great.
Can I get a rabid beaver with my Esprit short sleeve?
Esprit.
Meet me at Turtle Lake. Is it Esprit?
No. It's really simple. Esprit. Yeah.
We were poor, Dan. I didn't have Esprit.
I didn't wear this stuff either. Plus, I was a dude in the 80s. So, yeah.
Was this feminine clothing?
No, Sam, this was just a sweatshirt when we were growing up.
I remember.
And it just said Esprit. That's it.
Okay.
Costco has brought them back. They are sold out. Founded in 1968, by the way, by two residents of San Francisco. Oh, who also created the North Face. They're not worried where their next meal is coming from. So I will ask you what... from the 1980s, what was worse fashion-wise that should never be brought back? And it's got to be the neon. The neon colors.
The neon.
Oh, it was so bad in the 80s.
I think it's the hair to the sky that really is was too much.
That is something that has not come back. The mullet has come back. The god-awful mustaches have come back.
The anti-gravity ladies' hair, that has not come back yet.
I mean, you ladies in the 80s used so much hairspray that we literally blew a hole through the ozone layer.
Yes, we did.
Which, by the way,
that
good
was just
news,
me.
Has since fixed itself.
It has been fixed.
Along with Swatch watches and Jordache jeans, Esprit sweatshirts were status items that back in the day cost, any guesses, Dan? Back in the day, what would you pay at the mall?
It was $14.95.
Oh, God, no. It was north of that.
$25.
Remember,
bucks.
I was poor, Dan. Higher.
That was a lot of money back in 1985.
Bucks?
A good Esprit sweatshirt
Esprit.
As a status item. Cost around $45 back in the day.
That was very expensive.
Oh, my.
I told you, I never had one.
Yeah, that's like buying a hoodie for $350 nowadays.
Yep, roughly $140 today.
Or that, yeah.
And that means, listen to this, the tops worn by Lisa Bonet and Jennifer Connelly were full-on designer pieces on par with sweatshirts from Aviator Nation and Fear of God today.
Yeah, it was just one of those brands that was very popular among the women of the era.
Oh, I was men too.
Just like the Izod, lacrosse.
Oh, the Izod.
And the polo.
And see, we shopped at Kmart and Alco. Uh-huh. We didn't even have, oh gosh, what's her name? That ended up repping Kmart for years. We
Vera
didn't
yet
no, no the other one. She was one of the Charlie's Angels. We didn't even have her.
Right.
You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, from the text line, things that shouldn't come back, parachute pants.
Oh God, no.
No. The real parachute pants
Terrible.
Were really cool.
No, they weren't, Dan.
Jellies have already made a comeback. I have a couple of friends who wear jellies.
Oh, good Lord.
Doc Martens.
Ooh, Doc Martens could come back. That wouldn't bother me.
Jordache jeans. Only those around 16, 17 years old could wear them. No Gen X people are going to be able to wear actual Jordache jeans.
No.
Sam? Pro Wings? What are Pro Wings? I don't know.
Oh, Pro Wings, the shoes.
Are those the boots?
No, Pro Wings were like the shoes that you got at Payless Shoe Source.
Bunch of people are saying Jaclyn Smith.
Thank you, Jaclyn Smith. She was one of the Charlie's Angels.
Mm-hmm.
She tried to make Kmart cool. It didn't work, but she tried.
From the text line, I always wanted that green. Wait, sorry. Let me try that again. From the text line, I always wanted that Guess jean jacket.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
but it was $100.
So bad. Yeah. And the other one was
high fashion.
Pei-Pei jeans. Remember Pei-Pei jeans?
No.
And Guess.
Ooh,
and we could not afford any of them. I used to just roam around wishing someone would gift me a pair of Guess jeans.
Did you wear the stirrup pants?
Oh, you know we did. And then for a while, wrestling shoes were popular.
Mm-hmm.
For those who did not wrestle.
There was a lot of chaos in the 80s around fashion.
Simmered down. All right, 6571. Can we please bring back dolphin shorts? I had to look them up.
Dolphin shorts?
Dolphin shorts.
Oh, please.
Think like the super tight booty shorts that the stereotypical Hooters girl would wear.
Oh, my God. We do not.
Those are dolphin shorts.
Unisex,
the dolphin
says.
Shorts, those were just normal shorts.
No, Magnum P.I. shorts. That's what I'm going to call them. That's what Magnum P.I. wore. Too tight, too short. What the basketball shorts look like for a while.
The modern-day Nike shorts, but the Nike shorts in modern-day are loose. These are... slim fitting.
Because they're just shorts.
They are very, very tight.
Members only jackets.
Oh, that's one.
Starter jackets. Yeah. I have a really cool Chief starter jacket from the early 90s.
Which, by the way, what do you have in your house that is worth a mind-blowing amount of money? Did you guys see this? An empty box has just sold for $10,700.
This is insane.
An empty box, which originally contained a 1996 Nintendo 64 Super Mario 64.
But it's empty.
You don't get the game with it.
Doesn't have a game.
The box is empty.
The box. Now, the box is signed by the guy who created Mario.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's
well,
sold.
An important piece of
pardon me. $11,308. An empty box.
It's very esoteric.
It was part of a multiple collection of trading cards and retro video games sold last week. In total, including Pokemon cards, a Game Boy Advance game, Pokemon Emerald, a bunch of stuff. Basically, they raised $300,000 at this auction. But the real sort of head scratcher was the empty box. A rare Japan exclusive Panasonic Q, which could play Nintendo GameCube games and watch DVDs, sold for $1,652.
So this was like the rarest of the rare gaming memorabilia.
$1,500, it can't be that rare. Or is it just so niche that like no one's quite nerdy enough to want something like that?
And
right?
Why would you want it? Is it even compatible today? Also from the text line, things from the 80s that need to come back, IOU sweatshirts.
Okay.
And we got a text from your good friend who said that Umbro shorts
have
made a comeback.
Oh, the Umbros. Those were also too
expensive.
Ocean
Pacific was rather cool.
OP. Hey, remember, did you guys used to be able to wear, Dan, the, what was the Spuds McKenzie, the Budweiser dog shirt?
Oh, I would never be allowed to wear something like that.
I wouldn't either. And our school stepped in, because I didn't own one, but a bunch of kids did, and said you are not allowed to wear Spuds McKenzie stuff at school.
Yeah, because it was beer.
It was beer.
Mm-hmm. 913. And lastly, do you remember Z Cavaricci? Oh,
please. Please, do I remember Z Cavaricci? Yeah. Also too poor to have a pair of Z Cavaricci's. But the men would wear those driving around in that Camaro IROC Z, and we thought they were so cool.
And dousing themselves with Polo cologne.
So or Armani, so gross.
By the way, if you go to Z Cavaricci's website, it says, wear the pants you remember.
Please don't.
Now it's just, I remember to wear pants.
Z Cavaricci, now you're 70. Please remember to put on pants. We're back after this. Welcome on back to Dana and Parks. We have a rare, I don't even know that they need to say rare. By default, these are rare. Tyrannosaurus Rex fossil that has sold for a record $50.1 million at auction, according to CBS News. A gigantic Tyrannosaurus Rex skeleton sold for $50.1 million at an auction in New York on Tuesday, marking a new record price for a dinosaur fossil.
Tell me you have way too much money without telling me you have way too much money.
$50.1 million. Man, T-Rex is nicknamed Gus, by the way. A towering figure standing at 12.5 feet tall, roughly 38 feet long, according to Sotheby's. Oh, Sotheby's was in charge of the auction. Gus is composed of 183 different bones, in addition to dozens of rare rib specimens that are not included in technical bone counts. It is among the largest and most complete T-Rex skeletons ever discovered. And where did they find it? They're saying this will be placed in some sort of an exhibit. It is ready to be placed. And I hope that they do. Why would you buy something like that and then not share that with the world?
A day after the passing of Sam Neill.
Sam. I could not remember Sam's last name.
Dr. Alan Grant in the Jurassic Park films.
That made me so sad to see that yesterday.
I never put the connection between the two that he was also the inspector in Peaky Blinders.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
With the shooting outside of the train that I won't give away.
Well, you just kind of did.
Well, my goodness. That did not occur to me either.
That is
Did you
Sam
look
Neill.
Up his entire catalog of work, Sam, and
I'll
I know Dan Weinbaum had this in his newscast yesterday, and we just did not get to it in our stack yesterday. But that is one of those, just one of those deaths and one of those actors that you just go, oh, man, he was young, too. Wasn't he 70?
71 years old.
71 years old.
And tons of movie credits. I'm looking for one
I
that stand out to me.
I hadn't thought about Peaky Blinders, Sam, until you just said that. He was the inspector, the murderous inspector in Peaky Blinders.
He played a role in Liam Neeson's The Commuter back in 2018. Just a ton of different movies.
Do we know?
Thor Ragnarok, that's a big one.
Yeah, 150 films and TV shows over a 5-decade career. Although I read last night that it really was Jurassic Park, that until then he could pretty much go wherever he wanted until Jurassic Park.
He got typecasted?
Well, not even really typecast, but like he would go in to grab a coffee somewhere. And one of the quotes
that I read, little kids
would like come up and make dinosaur noises behind him, right?
And I bet he loved it.
What a talent. This says he was cancer-free just months before his death.
It was kind of weird how they talked in his obit or the story talking about his passing about him being cancer-free. He had fought cancer for years and did some experimental treatment.
The family has yet to disclose Neil's cause of death. But family says it was sudden, and they were blessed by the fact that he did remain cancer-free. You're right. They mention that a lot, Sam, with no explanation. But God bless him. I'm going to go home and watch Jurassic Park tonight.
I think it's a good idea.
And then this is it makes me sad, but I think we should pass it along. There are more than 63 people in the Kansas City Metro who have died and still lay unclaimed by loved ones. Every year we have this story. It is always sad. I don't understand how this happens. From Casey Discover on Facebook. Let's find their families, Kansas City. Below is a list of just a few of the people who were recently found. They have names. They have not been placed to rest by family. The Jackson County Medical Examiner's Office seeks the assistance of the public to help locate the next of kin and or friends to claim these remains. Efforts are made to locate next of kin, including posts on these websites, comprehensive internet searches, and local law enforcement resources. If no responses are generated, the process of a county cremation will begin for Jackson County to take jurisdiction and begin county disposition procedures. The reason I bring this up, there is a list of the ages, and in most cases, the addresses of all of these people listed.
So they know the families that these people belong to. They're just not coming
Sam,
to get them?
I don't know.
Because initially when I saw that, it spoke to me as a story of they're unidentified.
No.
We need to figure out who they are.
Listen,
let's get
this.
The families
I'm
out
just,
to
I'm
identify
just gonna
them.
I'm just going to rattle off a couple of them. John Caldwell, a 62-year-old white male who was found deceased in his home in the 7100 block of East 107th Place. Here's another one. Pamela Newman, 62-year-old white female, found deceased at her residence in the 400th block of 104th Street in Kansas City. This goes on and on. 59-year-old woman, Dana Ferguson, found deceased at her residence in Kansas City, Missouri, on Sunnyside Lane.
Is it a situation where the families can't afford for burial?
Man, Sam, I don't know. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, if it's an unattended death in a residence, unattended death, there is a procedure for that. They have to call out, I don't know that an autopsy has to be done, but you can't just say, oh, death's unattended. There's a procedure with that.
Right.
So then that person is taken to Jackson County, and I don't know, maybe... I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. But there are more than 63 people. And Jackson County is asking for help to try to find any family or friends of all of them. And you can find that all over the socials. They posted it in the last, 24 hours. 913-586-7798. We will wrap up the hour on Dana and Parks straight ahead.
And if you could take a quick moment to help us help a foster kid in need. The backpack is more than just the backpack. Foster Adopt Connect helps kids in foster care and families who care for them navigate one of the toughest journeys that a child can face. It's more than paperwork, trauma-informed support, community advocacy, and real help when it's needed the most. KMBZ and Pinnacle Bank are proud to partner with Foster Adopt Connect's School Supply Drive. A new backpack is just the beginning. It helps promote confidence. once for a child who may have shown up in foster care with nothing. You can learn more about the important work that they do and make a donation to the school supply drive at KMBZ.com. Just look for the school supply link. You can make a monetary donation online to help sponsor a new backpack full of all the goodies that they need. Or when you go out and you're shopping for school supplies for your own children, grab a few extra items. Drop them off at one of three locations. All the details online, KMBZ.com. Click on the school supply link. Together, we can give kids a strong start to the school year.
This is interesting and something that I did not know wasn't already happening from Channel 4 today. The Kansas City, Kansas Fire Department is taking strides in its emergency response after announcing that EMS crews will now carry whole blood for pre-hospital transfusions. The fire department announced Tuesday that EMS crews will begin to carry and administer whole blood while out in the field for patients suffering from major trauma and blood loss. The immediate distribution of blood in the field versus at the hospital is expected to save an estimated 37% of trauma patients with severe bleeding. A pre-hospital transfusion will also allow medical staff to stabilize trauma patients at a much quicker rate once the patient arrives. The initiative comes as part of the Blood on Board program, a federal grant program where more than 500 communities were awarded a total of $982 million in funding. Among those community projects were 48 projects involving EMS and whole blood projects to improve post-crash care. KCKFD was among those awarded a grant back in December for its program. It is your blood in your community going on to your ambulances, quoting here from KCK Fire Department Chief Mark Heath. So the only question I have, let's say there is a very, very, very bad car wreck.
Right, and which I think is what this would be used for.
Police and fire arrive or gunshot, and there's loss of blood.
Right.
Do they have to know your blood type?
I would think so.
No one knows their blood type, Sam. What's your blood type?
O positive.
How do you know your own blood type?
Because I went and got a blood scan.
Oh. Most people do not.
Yeah.
Most people do not. If you're, and you know, unless you're a regular blood donor, most people do not know their blood type. Is whole blood different in that, like, as a stopgap just to get you to the hospital, it doesn't matter what kind they give you to, you know, just to bridge the gap to save you until you can get to the hospital?
Whole blood is just blood.
Okay.
So how they tell which is your blood type, do they have a test that they can do right
there? I don't know.
You know, is this going to be a situation where we're waiting for the plus to light up on the test strip while you're bleeding out?
He's A negative.
I don't know what to give
yet. I don't know.
Apply pressure.
I don't know. Oh my God. There's doctors in the car right now just screaming at us. You know that.
While we're talking about blood, there is an extreme shortage right now, an emergency. They said that it is back to mid-pandemic levels. Blood Center, the Red Cross are both putting out the urgent call for people to go and donate. You can donate whole blood, which is what we were just talking about, once every 56 days. You can donate platelets twice a month.
Okay.
They like to sit at about a seven-day supply in terms of supplying the hospitals and everything else that they need. According to, again, the Community Blood Center and the Red Cross, they're sitting at about 1 to 2 days. So they like a seven-day supply. 1 to 2 days is where they're currently at. The biggest need right now would be that O positive and the B negative. I'll try to avoid any serious car accidents.
I'm going to ask my mom right now. I'm so sorry to tell you this. I honestly don't know my blood type. I don't. And I bet you she doesn't either. If you said to me right now, for $1 million, Dana, if you name your children's blood types, I will give you $1 million. I have no idea. I mean, I know they tell you in the hospital. It's been 26 years. I don't remember that. And I think everyone should know their blood type.
From the text line, if you don't know your blood type, that tells me you don't donate and there's no excuses.
What's my blood type? All right, I'm going to ask my mom.
O negative, by the way, is universal, so they could just stock that bad boy.
That's
with
the one
O
that
negative.
Can give. Oh, there you go. That's the one that can give to anybody.
Yes.
All right, good. That's probably what whole blood means.
Well, no, whole blood is just blood versus platelets.
It's whole, and it's universal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I should have gone to med
school. Donate.
Go donate.
You can get more information on how to donate at savealifenow.org and redcrossblood.org.
Savealifenow.org. Did you hear this World's a Fun story? Have you read this, Sam?
No.
There is a local family.
Okay.
They have been Worlds of Fun pass holders for decades. And I mean, wow. Her name is Angel Wolf. Since the late 80s, she says, they have been pass holders. And I've been to Worlds of Fun, you know, when I was a teenager and maybe once or twice with the kids, but it is not something that we do every single summer. So I don't know what one of these summer passes costs. However, they are asking for a $700 dining pass refund. Quoting here from Angel Wolf, "We have been passing it on, this pass, for generations and never had a problem until a new company took over the park. They bought 7 all-season gold dining passes for themselves and their grandchildren. She says, once I'm out at the park, I don't want to go back in. So it made it a lot easier having the dining plan. If you go all summer long, you definitely get your money's worth." All right. "They bought those passes earlier this year before Six Flags sold the park. Guests were informed that those dining passes, where people could get 2 meals a day during the season, would not be honored."
Oh.
"Pass holders had the option of receiving a refund or a gift card worth 20% of what they paid." So they were offered $20 per pass, but they bought 7, which I still think is a lot. Wouldn't you have to go to Worlds of Fun, like, I don't know, how much a burger is it worth?
Oh, they're expensive. No. The food there is expensive.
Okay.
The food pass, definitely. So I used to go 3 to 4 days a week. That was kind of my summer school.
Okay.
And we would get the season pass every single year. And the biggest hurdle that we faced was the dang food cost, because it was expensive.
So when she's saying once you're there, you don't want to go back in, what she meant to say was once you're inside the park, you don't want to go back out
to grab food and go back to McDonald's or something
and go back. Okay.
And there's not a whole lot of food around there other than McDonald's, a QT. I think there was a Wendy's.
So in May, I guess they asked for a refund. Twice in June, each time customer service for Six Flags or the new place thanked for their patience, but getting desperate, she says, look, we want our money back. In one of her most recent emails, she said, I don't know what else to do other than beg. A few weeks ago, Worlds of Fun held a town hall meeting to address questions and concerns. It appears there are still issues with these refunds. Anytime a company buys out another company, we see this in retail. We see this. Oh my gosh, you guys, if you had a meal coupon, if you had, this happens when companies take over other companies and the new company comes in and says, we're not going to honor any agreement you had with our predecessor.
Right.
I mean, I feel bad. $700 is an exorbitant amount of money.
Do they not have an obligation to repay you that money prior to that buyout?
No, absolutely not.
And then I'd be filing a lawsuit.
Sam,
I pay for this service and you're not giving it to
me. That's like when you buy a gym membership. And I hate to say that. Or let's say like a tanning salon membership or something. And then someone else comes in and buys that company and says, look, I don't care if you had a coupon booklet that said you could come 5 days a week. We don't have to honor that. We're the new owner. I don't think there's any obligation for them to honor that.
I'm going to use some arbitrary businesses here. Let's say that I buy a year's worth membership from Planet Fitness. They don't even do that, I don't think. But let's say I do that.
Let's say you did.
And in March, Gold's Gym buys out Planet Fitness and says, all the memberships are dead.
Yeah.
I don't get my money back for the last 9 months.
Correct.
I paid for a year.
You paid for a year under the contract that you enjoyed with the prior owner. You do not have a contract with the new owner.
And lawsuits are being filed.
Well, I don't know. I think this happens more often than you think. This is why when someone says, would you like to pay up front for XYZ? Normally, I think no. For
really?
for this exact reason.
But you get a better deal.
Until you
they
don't.
Go under.
Until you don't.
That's not okay.
913-586-7798. You're listening to Dana and Parks. If you missed our 3 o'clock hour, please stay tuned for the bonus hour. I thought our author, Tom Owens, was fascinating.
Yeah,
I'm going to read this book.
Tomorrow?
I am going to read this book. He, you guys, we hear all about the border war, the border war, the border war, the border war, the border war. You know, if you went to Mizzou, what you think about Kansas. And if you know, if you went to Kansas, what you think about Mizzou. Let's call it what it is. So Tom Owens lives in town, works at a museum, and starts really researching the history of the border war and what it meant on both sides, like the blood shed on both sides.
Because there are two sides to every story.
Yes. And out of all of that, like a year's worth of research on this, he penned historical fiction. It's a novel called The Chimney. And one of the things I found fascinating, why did they call it The Chimney? There are entire swaths of our area, Harrisonville, Jackson County, Clay, Vernon, and Bates, where I believe he said 25,000 people or more, a lot of women and children, were force evacuated from their homes. Land, homes, livestock, all burned to the ground. And we ask him, like, where did those people end up settling? Like, who ended up with the land? Some of this right here in the Kansas City area. And we sat down with him and talked in the 3 o'clock hour. And I just loved that interview. And that is coming up in the bonus hour here in about 8 minutes. Argentina, specifically one of their courts, has recognized two goldfish as sentient beings with rights.
Oh, okay.
On the
what's special about these goldfish?
I'm going to tell you, Sam. On the facade of a sushi restaurant in a chic Buenos Aires neighborhood, two goldfish in a glass display case would go largely unnoticed, apart from the occasional child who would tap up against the glass. One day, someone took a closer look at the tank, which was exposed to the sun and to the street noise. It would change the fate of the pair of small fish, who were later recognized in an Argentinian court as sentient beings that had rights. Quoting here from one of the lawyers, anyone passing by, stopping to look and see, could see it was not suitable for the fish. So they filed a complaint with the courts arguing that the conditions that these fish lived in violated law 14.346, which penalizes animal abuse in Argentina.
What a bunch of carp.
With the help of specialists, they built a legal case and almost immediately convinced the court to move the fish to a more suitable place. Having two fish in a glass display case, they argued, is more or less the same as putting two polar bears in a cage inside of a sauna. Fish are like astronauts. They travel in their own environment with careful monitoring of all their vital parameters. And when they arrive at the place, those conditions must be reproduced with great accuracy. I'm just reading the news.
Okay.
Just reading the news, Sam.
Were they too coy to speak up for themselves?
Stop it. Get out. Out.
They remember things for like 3 seconds.
Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Did you hear we're getting a new sellout, by the way? Drivers who are picking up travelers coming out of Kansas City International now have a new spot to confuse all of us, most of us, as to what we're supposed to do in that spot. The city of Kansas City announced July 14th a new cell phone lot for MCI. The lot is located along Burn Street and Tel Aviv Avenue and is north of the airport terminal. It has 167 additional parking spots for you to occupy and sit and wait before picking up your travelers.
Are people finally using the cell phone lot as it is supposed to be used?
You know, we like our cars here, and we like driving round and round and round.
I ask that because
I don't think so.
With the new airport, I have gone to pick up somebody, I think, 3 or 4 different times.
No.
And 2 of the times I went to the cell phone lot. The other 2 times I timed it pretty well, so I was just able to hop into the never-ending arrivals line.
Yeah.
And I couldn't help but notice that a number of people that were also in the arrivals line would get up to the front where the people in the vest would start yelling at them.
Yeah.
And then they would just loop back around to get back into the arrivals line. And the 2 times that I went to the cell phone lot, there was like 3 people there. And then when I got to the arrivals line, the line was like 100 cars long.
I think the signage needs to be updated, and we don't like waiting. That's what I think.
Okay. Did they add bathrooms and arrival time TVs?
No.
We just get more asphalt and white paint.
And you sit. That's what you do.
Okay. Is it at least well lit so I don't get stabbed?
I do think they do have lighting. They do have an emergency phone.
Because the old cell lot was not well lit. It was
dark. Keep it moving, people. And I leave you with this. We have a man clocked driving 105 miles an hour in a Chase in Kansas City. He's from Independence. He's being held on a $200,000 bond. His name is 59 years old, Scott Adkins. Scott, what in the Sam Hill are you doing with your life? He's been charged with second-degree assault on law enforcement because when they got up to him and he finally stopped his car, he had on him a box cutter and a bag of donuts. It was 4 a.m. I don't have anything else to say about that.
Well, maybe he was having trouble getting into the bag of donuts.
Have you ever tried to open a bag of donuts?
How did he really want a donut? How did he assault the officers?
Because I think at some point when they said pull over and he didn't, and speeds reached 105 miles an hour, when they pull you over and you have a box cutter, they look at the donuts and that's not the first thing that they're concerned about.
I thought he reached 105 and then got pulled over. I didn't realize. Good okay, God. Got it.
59 years old. You should be planning your retirement. What are you doing with your life?
Living life in the fast lane.
Really?
I'll see myself out.
All right. This is going to be an exciting week, I think. I think this is going to be a good week, Sam. We have gotten through Monday. We have gotten through Tuesday. We will be back here tomorrow.
Yeah, we will.
On Wednesday. Be safe tonight. Be good, everybody. We'll be back here tomorrow.
Get the Dana and Parks podcast, KMBZ.com, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just make sure to like, subscribe, and download. Bye!
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.